Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Welcome to Long Shots Wednesday edition. Kelly Bidlin, Wes Reynolds here. Coming back here on Wednesday, we're going to try to mix these in a little bit more. We've got an LPGA event to discuss this week, a major. So we wanted to mix that in. Wes was doing a little bit of writing on it, so we decided to get you at least a quick pod on that. And Wednesdays, again, we're going to try to do these a little bit more regularly, recap kind of all the bets that we've all landed on for whatever PGA Tour event is going on, definitely for the bigger tournaments, the elevated events and majors. We'll make sure to do these on Wednesdays. Might be a couple that we miss on some other weeks when they're not quite as big a tournaments, but we're going to try to mix these in a little bit more for you, and we'll continue definitely during the majors. We'll continue those Friday after the cuts for you guys. I know we've gotten some positive feedback, Wes, from some of the fans out there. I know sometimes on Tuesday, it is tough. With Tuesday, we say it all the time. It's always tough for us to figure out when to even record long shots because it takes Vegas so long to get everything posted,
right,
betting-wise, that we don't even fully know what bets we make. So we appreciate everybody listening. You know, hit the rate, hit the review, leave your comments. We always like to hear the feedback. But we're going to try to keep doing these a little bit more. We've got a little bit of a special event to talk about today, right?
Yeah, we do. The Chevron Championship, as you mentioned, the first LPGA major of the year. If you're not sure of the lineage of the Chevron Championship, it is the old Dinosaur event that was always the first major of the year. That used to be out in Mission Hills out in Southern California. It actually started in 1972. So Dinosaur, the former singer, actress, entertainer, it was her namesake. The trophy is still called the Dinosaur Trophy. Last year was the first year it did move to the Woodlands, which is just a little bit north of Houston, because of sponsor considerations for the Chevron Championship. So no longer known as the Dinosaur, but you've got, you know, obviously major championship field, a lot of past major champions. I think 38 of the top 40 in their Rolex rankings, which is like their OWGR, $7.9 million purse, which is actually increased by about 154% since 2022. Wow. So yeah, I kind of miss it at the old course that they always had it out in California. But in terms of the, you know, sponsor considerations, it's like, okay, we're putting money into this event and actually paying a big purse. And that is a big time purse. I know. Sure. It seems like small potatoes when we talk about the $20 million PGA events and then LIV and all that stuff. But this is big, and, you know, it's a good trend, though, because we've seen it with the WNBA, you know, trying to put more money in the women's sports and more exposure. So big event this weekend. Head of the field, though, we talk about Scottie Scheffler's dominance on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
He's being trumped here by world number one Nelly Korda, who's won 4 straight events on the LPGA Tour coming into this week. She's won 12 times on the tour, just 25 years of age. Only looking for just her second major, though, because she's had injuries over the years. She's had a back issue last year. She had the blood clot in her arm in 2022, where she missed well over half the year. So finished third here on this venue last year. So she is well the favorite, because I had to look at the odds board and I was like, okay, what's the second choice? Because you're thinking, okay, second choice might be like 10-1 or 12-1, kind of like what we saw at the Masters last
week.
It's
wild, yeah.
25-1, you have to go all the way down to find the second choice. And these are good players too, and major champions. Jin Young Ko, Ataya Titicule, Brooke Henderson, Lydia Ko, Patty Tavatonicat, Ro Zhang, who's kind of the young American star. Remember, she was the number one amateur and the NCAA champion at Stanford's, won a couple times on the LPGA tour. So, yeah, you had to go like way down to find a second choice here on the odds board. So Nelly Korda, very much the woman to beat this weekend.
Well, let's play the normal Scottie Scheffler game then here with Nelly. It really is impressive. Four in a row. And didn't she skip a couple weeks or something too in the middle of that? So it's not even like she's just been rolling week after week. Yeah. It's almost even more impressive to me when you see someone do something like that. So four in a row, fifth on deck. Okay, 5-1 in the outright market. How do you play this, Wes? We saw Scottie Scheffler at 4-1 take down a Masters green jacket last week. So not a bad bet on the men's side. Is that a bad or a good bet on the women's side here this week?
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad bet. I mean, look, she is well the woman to be. I mentioned she was third last year behind Lilia Vu, won this in a playoff. Lilia Vu, by the way, is number two in the Rolex rankings. Kind of been slow to start this year, and she's 33-1. She just got one top 10 this season, comes in a little out of form, but you know, you don't often see that, a gap between world number one and world number two, right. 5-1 to 33-1. and that's what you're seeing. I'm surprised Nelly Korda maybe isn't a little shorter. I thought she might be like 3-1 or 4-1, but it's 5-1. Yeah. So, I mean, it's bettable, certainly.
Does that say more? I don't want to say this wrong though. We didn't see these same kind of odds stacked up like this though on the Masters last week, right? We dipped down to about the 10-1 range, not the 25-1 range. So, does it tell you more about? I mean, is there really that big a separation right now between Nelly Korda and the rest of the LPGA Tour?
There might be, and look, the LPGA Tour has gotten better. I mean, it's gotten deeper over the years. Like, there's a lot of really good players out there that have won major championships of late. And, you know, like Allison Corpuz, who won the U.S. Women's Open. I think I saw her at 70-1 at one shop out there. So these are like recent major champions within like the last year. And they're that far priced down, because last year, I think you did have a couple dark horses at least win major championships and first time major winners. Lilia Vu, of course, Lilia Vu, by the way, had four wins last year and won the Player of the Year and is 33-1. But if you she won two majors too, by the way, won the Chevron, also won the AIG Women's Open. So she shared that honor with Celine Boutier, who also won her fourth major last year, or fourth overall win. But yeah, there is a separation, I think, right now. And it's not that these other players are bad. It's that she's just that good right now and just that dialed in. You mentioned, you know, this started back 12 weeks ago, actually, is when Nelly Korda started this streak. And then had about a month and a half or 2 months off, because she won. I'm just looking at her events here. She won one of the opening events in Bradenton back in January, and then in March she wins in LA. I don't know if she played in any of the international events, because usually LPGA they go international, they go over to Asia early in the year, they go over to Thailand and they go over to China. I don't know if she played that events, but she won the Sayri Park Championship there at Wilshire Country Club in LA, then won the Ford Championship down in Arizona, and then actually came out here to Vegas a couple weeks ago and won the match play, which is stroke play, and then they seed them accordingly. The match play was held at Shadow Creek Golf Club, MGM, big sponsor of that. MGM, I believe, is the owner of that course now, and ends up winning that match play. Like, that's a tough grind. You know, when you can win a match play event where you got to play all these matches and all this golf over 4 or 5 days, you know, she's just on it right now. And I don't know, I think it might have been Karen Stupples, who is a former LPGA Tour player, who's the commentator on Golf Channel. It's like, I haven't seen anybody play any better. And you've had these runs, several different players over the years have had these runs. Annika, of course, Lorena Ochoa, but Nelly Korda right now, just she looks unstoppable.
Yeah, this is 5-1 outright, plus 140 top five, minus 150 top 10 over at DraftKings Sportsbook right now. The I might shop around for a top 10 price on her. I mean, you look back from what she's done from about middle of August to this point. I mean, she's top 10 I think my quick math says about half the events she's teeing it up in. So maybe a little bit more now, this really hot streak that she's on right now. Man, yeah, I might be a shop around a bit for me and check that out. The other one, I don't even know how much you looked through these. I'm just cycling through some of the DraftKings markets right now. Would you rather play her 5-1 or plus 230 as top North American?
Yeah, probably top, because she would be competing against Brooke Henderson, from Canada.
She would be Rojang,
Lilia Vu, as well. And then just going down the board, Allison Lee, who's actually played pretty well of late.
Knocks a lot of names out though.
It does. So that might actually be a better price, because I was kind of looking to see, okay, if I play a couple, and these would be obviously very, very minuscule and small bets, kind of just looking, and you can't really go too far down the board. But Patty Tavatanakit from Thailand, 28-1. She's already won a couple times this year, actually, both over in Asia. And she's a really long hitter, too. And one of the things I noticed just looking at this course, it's about par 72, 68, 72. So, the normal courses we talk about, it's like, oh, that's so short. That's actually the longest course on the LPGA Tour. It's the club at Carlton Woods is where they're playing this. Jack Nicklaus' signature course. And Nicklaus, of course, designed this in 2001. So, length is really the main defense unless the wind picks up. Fairways are, about 30 yards wide on average, not exactly tight, but more on the narrow side, certainly than the wide side. Greens are really big here, about 6,800 square feet, roll about 12 on the stimp. So, you got to have some length here. I think when you're looking at, who can really drive the ball and take advantage of par fives, very common to what we heard last week, really at the Masters, taking advantage of those par fives. And, Patty T is a big hitter, top 10 in driving distance, on the LPGA Tour. And then another one I was looking at that you could find, I think at 40-1, I think it's at Bet 365 is where the best price is. Yuka Saso out of Japan, also one of the bigger hitters. So yeah, I want somebody that's going to be able to hit it pretty long. Like Nelly Korda can hit it long. She's not ranked that high in terms of driving distance, probably like 30th or 40th on the entire tour, but certainly has a beautiful golf swing and really wins, I think, with her irons. I think that's really the best part of her game.
Okay, I like it. So yeah, no bets in the account for you yet, but just review one more time the ones you were eyeing up.
Patty Tavatanakit at 28-1, Yuka Saso at 40-1. Both are former major champions, so they've got some major pedigree. So that's probably as deep as I go here, but this will certainly be a pretty cool event though, and to see if Nelly Korda can keep adding to history.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's something I'll definitely have my eye on this weekend. And the other thing we're going to try to be doing on these Wednesday podcasts is just roll through all of our bets that we've made for whatever PGA Tour event is going on. We do have two this week, though. Let's start Corrales Punta Cana, actually, Wes, if you don't mind, if you have that stuff pulled up in front of you. I know you're the only one that bet it. I know I mentioned it yesterday around the World Podcast. I'm going to end up making a burger bet. It's a 40-1 in this type of field. I like Daniel Berger too much to stay away from that number. So I've really got nothing to go off of that. Daniel Berger has not looked all that great since his return this season. I guess the best thing you can say, Wes, right, is he has played fairly consistently. So it's I don't think he's had too many hiccups, at least with the back.
And this is a downfield too, right. Most of the top guys are playing up at the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head. So yeah, I could certainly sponsor it. It's one of those events because it's the alternate event. It's tough to make an argument against most players.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's very random, which is why I'm probably not going to have many, if any, like placement markets on this.
I think that's a good call. Yep.
Because usually the placements can kind of help you, you know, if you don't hit these outrights, especially in a crapshoot event like this, get money back. But it's like, I'd be willing to take the loss here if none of my guys hit. It's just, it's so hard and it's so random here, yeah, I think, with placement markets.
I think that's a great call. We often talk about it on Long Shots. And we talk about it with PGA Tour events, even if just the higher variance tournaments, those being, we love, subscribe, endorse, and promote people betting into those markets as a way to really help build your bankroll and kind of keep it alive in between outright hits. But some tournaments, they make way more sense at than others. And I think that there, if it's a tournament that, whether it's weather, whether it's water right, on the course, whether it's, you know, a whole lot of factors that can make it just a higher variance, result, oriented course, it's something that I tried a little bit more lightly than if I'm looking at, especially like top 20, top 40s, because it's just, you know, one bad round or something completely blows you up, takes you out of it, and you know, could just ruin that bet for you where you're probably going to have sunk in a little bit more money. So I think that's a good call for an event like this. I think it's a good one, especially if you are focused more on the RBC Heritage anyways. Throw a couple outrights in, few outrights in, if it's their guys you got feels on. You know, and that's a good way to do it. So who did you end up landing on again? I remember a couple years from yesterday, but roll through them for the audience.
Yeah. For the, Corrales Punta Cana, Nate Lashley, 28-1, very good coastal form, actually won here on this course in 2017 when it was a Corn Ferry event. Victor Perez, 33-1, who just missed out getting a spot at the RBC Heritage as part of that Aon Swing 5. He ended up number 6, third last month at the alternate event in Puerto Rico. So he's got experience on this Paspalum type of greens. Sam Stevens, 35-1, 54 hole leader last year, eventually finished third. Matty Schmidt, 55-1, also a guy that goes good in some of these coastal events, third in Bermuda late last year, 10th in Puerto Rico back in March. Peter Quest, 66-1, one of the longer hitters and better putters in this field, struggled a little bit on the Corn Ferry to start the season, but 2 weeks ago, 10th at the Valero, and then one kind of shot in the dark, Alex Fitzpatrick, 80-1. Of course, his brother Matt is defending the RBC Heritage title, there at Hilton Head, where they vacation frequently as a family when they were young. So took a shot with Alex Fitzpatrick at 80-1.
I feel like I'm already okay. Well, first of all, I'm going to add on. I'm going to tail West this week on Sam Stevens, Matty Schmidt. Yeah, we've bet Matty a couple times this year at different points of PGA Tour. I think that game's definitely there. Sam Stevens, I you just broke it down well. Both those guys. And they're guys we've touched in kind of main PGA Tour events already. We've played a couple times. So I'm going to tail you on those two. I'm going to throw in Daniel Berger. Just small outright bets for me this week on those. I'm going to tail Wes on a couple. I think those are smart selections for this course. I'll tell you, Wes, did you ever take any regular like family vacations like that when you were a kid? I don't know why this story kind of drives me nuts, because I feel like we heard about it like two or three years ago, and like I'm already, it's like one of the most tiring tour stories every year, like is the Fitzpatrick family at
I envy them because we did not take a lot of those when I was
especially when you're coming from England, you know, yeah, that's a nice little trip. Yes. When you come all the way over from England.
We went to like Kings Island, like in Cincinnati from Indianapolis. Like that's about it. No like elaborate, nice, lovely holiday, as they call it over in Europe.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the closest thing that I've got is when we were living overseas when I was a kid and we'd come back to the United States like every summer in between school semesters. But like that was just to, you know, like, get a few weeks of Americana back in our veins before we shipped back over to Russia or Caracas, Venezuela. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, just get back to the States and eat a damn cheeseburger or something like that, you know? So I guess that's the closest I could get to, but yeah, I don't know. I didn't really have a special family vacation like that every single year. And sorry for the spoiler alert for everybody who didn't know that, because I'm sure you're going to hear about it 18 times on the CBS broadcast this weekend. Yeah. So CBS now, right? Ever since the Masters takes over, right? We start CBS. Yeah.
Yeah, especially with Matt Fitzpatrick. I actually, on the RBC, I did win that last year with Matt Fitzpatrick.
You did.
Had to sweat that out in a playoff. So hopefully going back-to-back, although Fitz nor Mr. Spieth, who is the other playoff participant, are not on my card this week. Fitz probably is a placement market play, like a top 20 that I'm going to add this afternoon.
Yeah, Wes, I lost you there for one sec, but yeah, let's just roll right into the RBC Heritage and everything that you did bet. I know you hit on Fitz last year, so keep it rolling, buddy.
Yeah, and I'm going to have him, obviously, I think, like top 20 placement market, but not from the outright. So from the outright perspective, Patrick Cantlay, 18-1, not great form, but look, horse for the course here. Always good on Pete Dye's, 4 top threes in his 6 appearances here. Tommy Fleetwood, 22-1. I thought played very well. He wasn't like right in the mix. Like when you look and say he finished 3rd at Augusta, it's not like he was a challenger, but he kept getting better as the week went on, you know, just kind of started out slow and then kept getting better. So Tommy Fleetwood, I think, really fits this course. Cameron Young, 28-1, still looking for that first PGA Tour win, much like Tommy Fleetwood. Tom Kim, 50-1, low round of the Sunday at the Masters, shot a 6-under 66. Maybe that's some positive momentum. I actually hope the wind blows a little bit more, because I think that would be better for him, because he's very good in the wind over in Europe last summer.
Yeah, Wes, you did mention that yesterday when we were recording. I thought that was an interesting note, because it really does feel like that ever since Tom Kim's kind of burst onto the scene. I mean, you really have the more notable events, it feels like, with him, where he's had good performances have kind of come with some gross weather conditions. Yeah. And I don't know what to read into that. I always feel like it's unfair when sometimes these guys get tagged with the, you know, the label of, hell yeah, he plays great through rain, or especially sometimes when it's really lazy analysis. Sometimes we're like, hey, he's an Australian, he clearly can play in the wind, or like something like, you know, or hey, he's Scottish, he must be great in the rain. And then you're like, okay, but like, I don't know how many times the guys actually played in the rain. You know what I mean? Like, so I feel like there's sometimes just like that lazy go-to golf analysis, but like, it's something when you pick up something like that on a younger guy like this, it's something to keep your eye on. I'm not saying he's an auto bet whenever there's bad conditions, but it's become a trend with him. So something to keep an eye on, because we've also seen him have some rather poor performances, you know what I mean, kind of mixed in throughout. So I don't know, interesting, but I'm with you. That Sunday Masters performance caught my eye. I think he rolls in at least with some momentum this week.
Yeah, and he also waited around at the end there. He's actually a very good buddy and probably one of Scottie Scheffler's closest friends on the PGA Tour. So sometimes it's like when your buddy wins, you tend to play well. I don't, you know, I don't have any data to back that up, but I've noticed that over the years. And so I think Tom Kim could go okay this week. And then finishing out the card, Christian Bezuidenhout at 66-1, Sepp Straka 66-1, Taylor Moore 70-1, Mr. Consistency. He hadn't missed a cut this year on the PGA Tour, made all 10, runner-up a couple weeks ago in Houston. 15 in a row he's actually made since the Open Championship.
Yeah, I like that. He's on my card as well. I was going to roll through Matt's first, but that leads me nicely into mine, so I'll just start with mine, actually. Yeah, I did bet him. I'm going light on the outrights again this week with old Scottie Scheffler, seemingly still in the field. Follow up, you know, update from our podcast yesterday, if you listened to it. Scottie Scheffler, not breaking news, still in the field at the RBC Heritage. We'll have to see if anything ends up happening with that, but yeah, I do have. So I, in anticipation of him withdrawing and pulling out of this tournament, I did bet Cameron Young. I kind of ran numbers quick from last year, bet Cameron Young and Corey Connors earlier in the week. I'm not necessarily sure I'd be as gung-ho on them now after looking at some stuff, but I, like I said on the podcast yesterday, for anybody that listened, hey, Wes is on one of them, Matt's on the other, so that sure makes me feel a lot better with Cameron Young and Corey Connors. Only other outright that I played was Akshay Bhatia. We talked a lot about him yesterday, but he really spiked high in almost everything that I ran. So did play him in the outright market, a top 20. And I've got a little bit more matchup research. I got to see if there's one out there. I didn't see any yesterday that I really liked him in. So I left him alone there. Taylor Moore, I played in the top 20 market, as well as Siwoo Kim. I did add Siwoo yesterday after we had that conversation on him. So top 20s on Siwoo, Akshay, Taylor Moore. Played Taylor Moore in a matchup over Chris Kirk. And then top 10 on Xander Schauffele at plus 105. I feel like that is the bet I've heard kind of touted around the most this week, which, look, I understand. I've been betting Xander top 10 seemingly every tournament here for the past 2 months. It's one of the few things that's actually worked out okay for me betting on golf here this season. So I'm going to keep going back to that. Got that at plus money. I would just watch the movement on that. If that goes all the way, I think I saw that as low as minus 130. That price is starting to get a little out of control. So I'd probably cut that off at some point. As far as Matt Brown's bets, we got all of ours, Matt's, mine, and Wes's, all at VSiN.com. He is on Schauffele, I know, outright. He did mention he's got dialing back a mount. He's betting into outrights, but he basically does bet outrights at least small on all these guys. He usually grabs a pool of players and then splits it up kind of outright, top five, top 10, or goes, if they're longer odds, top 20, top 40. So he went Xander outright, top five, top 10. Siwoo outright, top five, top 10. Shane Lowry outright, top five, top 10. Corey Connors outright in a top 10. Akshay Bhatia outright in a top 10. And then Nick Taylor outright in a top 20. So that is Matt Brown's bets. Get all of Wes's, mine, and Matt's bets every single week for every PGA Tour event up at VSiN.com. I know I did mention yesterday, Wes, looking in that first round leader market. I haven't made any bets yet, which is bad on me. Sorry, I should have been had those locked in, ready to go. I can tell you, though, I'm going to play Xander and Akshay in that market. We'll be playing probably outright first round leader. But again, if you listened to the podcast yesterday, if you didn't, I suggest you go back and listen to it, because what are you doing, man? You gotta listen to at least the big Tuesday one. All these other ones we kind of sprinkle it around. The Tuesday one's the big one, though. I mean the Wednesday morning, because that's when it gets released. Wednesday morning. Sorry, I should refer to it as that. I will be playing Akshay, Xander, and I think Siwoo. I'm gonna dabble in probably those three. Definitely Akshay and Xander, though. I'll be playing first round leader, and then again look around, shop around those first round leader top five, top 10 markets. I think you have a lot of value in them in these tournaments that you know are going to be a little tougher, tougher to score in, more of those scores bunched up. And if ties pay in full, that can be an extremely valuable bet. It's something that I've been experimenting with more this year. Not going to lie, not that I've had a ton of success with it so far, but I think in certain tournaments with smaller fields where you know scoring's a little tougher, I think those bets just inherently have a little bit more value in them. So a little bit new market for us out here in Vegas, but it's one that I'm experimenting with, playing around with a little bit more this year, and I think there's some potential there at certain events for it to be a very profitable market. So that is one I'm going to be dipping my toes into. All right, that'll do it for this one. We started off strong. We faded at the end. It's okay. It happens sometimes with technology. For Wes Reynolds, I'm Kelly Bidlin. Good luck with all your golf bets this week.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.